Iowa got the bull monkey off its back last night over Boston College. What's next for the Hawkeyes? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
It's always been a goal of mine that I wanted to do, and we worked all month for this. We worked really hard. We set our goals for to win this game, get the eighth win, and, you know, we got it.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Well, technically, he hasn't announced that he's leaving yet, but that was Iowa corner Josh Jackson last night after the Pinstripe Bowl victory over Boston College. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking around with us and putting up with the fact that we weren't on the air the last couple days. Hopefully, you enjoyed the Pinstripe Bowl a little bit more than I did. I think I'm still thawing out, and if you could see me right now in the KGYM studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, you could tell I've got a little wind damage to my face. Looks like I went six or seven rounds with an Irish whiskey bottle or something. I'm a little red in the face, but we will get to plenty of the Pinstripe highlights from last night, as well as a guy who was on the 6 train with me, inbound to downtown Manhattan and points elsewhere. Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com has safely made it back to Eastern Iowa. He's going to be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports will give us the insight on Iowa State and Memphis. Of course, still one big bowl game involving a team from the state of Iowa to be played on Saturday afternoon. You can hear that game right here on KGYM on all three frequencies. 1600 AM will have John Walters and the Cyclone Radio Network, and then on the FMs we will have the ESPN National feed. 107.5 FM is the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and then, as we've mentioned, 1600 AM, the historic main gym. I'm sorry if I feel a little out of practice. I've got to knock the rust off. We've not been on the air with you since the 22nd, and today's the 28th, so it's like going to spring training and shaking off the rust. Alex is out in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl. If you missed his check-in with the gym class, podcast will be available at KGYMradio.com shortly, and you can visit and vote in our poll question while you're there today as well, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Who or what will you remember most about this Iowa football season? We give you several options. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. So what is next for the Iowa football program? 319-366-1600, and I think that question involves the man that you heard from in the intro to the program. Josh Jackson and James Daniels both asked last night whether or not they were going to leave school early for the NFL draft. Both declined to say anything, and I think, as we discussed in the press box afterwards, specifically with Josh Jackson, it just seemed as if he did not want to step on the moment, that was a team time last night for the Hawkeyes to celebrate the victory as a team, and he didn't want to take any of the spotlight away from MVP Akram Wadley, whom, by the way, we will have the MVP of the 2017 Pinstripe Bowl on this very program coming up tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com and I will chat with Akram. A great showing of at least his family at Yankee Stadium last night. There were some Hawkeye fans in attendance, but it was a very partisan Boston College crowd, and they were heading for the exits very disappointed, especially after Jackson pulled in that interception to not necessarily seal the game. The Eagles did get the ball back, but that was sort of the backbreaker there. We talked a lot last night on the postgame show about the conditions at Yankee Stadium, specifically the turf. You'll hear Josie Jewell give his thoughts on what it was like to play on that turf last night. Also, a little bit of audio coming up later on in the program from Iowa quarterback Nathan Stanley. Want to hear from you, though. Is this significant for the Hawkeyes? Now they've got this bowl streak off their back. They can turn their focus to 2018. What's next for this program, and what are the expectations moving forward? 319-366-1600. I got Kyle riding shotgun with me today. Jeff Downing, our associate producer, is with us on the other side of the glass. I'm assuming you watched the game last night. What did you think? We talked at halftime in the press box, and we were talking because it was the only way that we could stay warm, was trying to keep our lips and other various body parts moving in the open-air press box. We talked at halftime last night. We had seen this game a number of times during the regular season. It was a matter of it was going to go one of two ways. Either Iowa was going to fold and not come back at all in the second half, and it was going to get ugly, or the Hawkeyes were going to manage to cobble together some offense and win the game, and they wound up doing just that.
That's pretty much exactly the case. At halftime, you're wondering, you know, is this just a repeat of, you know, a handful of games this year where Iowa just simply can't move the ball at the half? They've only got 56 yards. They didn't convert on a single third down the entire first half, and then they just flipped the entire script in the second half. They let Boston College come in and just bully them around. Iowa came into this game only giving up 145 rushing yards per game. Boston College had 154 in the first half alone, and that was extremely concerning. And for Boston College, those third downs, 5 for 8 on third down conversions. They did whatever they wanted. And then, to see the defense come back, and this is another thing that we've seen all year long, where that defense, it gave up a lot of yards, but it buckled down when it needed to. They only gave up a single rushing yard in the fourth quarter. They got Boston College off their game, started forcing some turnovers. In a lot of ways, it felt like the perfect way to end the season. It was a Bonnie and Clyde team. It was a Bonnie and Clyde bowl game. But when you get down and kind of look at the numbers, I don't know how to actually feel about it.
Didn't Bonnie and Clyde die in a shootout? Help me out on this one. I'm missing the reference.
I might have a bad understanding of Bonnie and Clyde right now.
Okay. Well, what did you mean by
I meant Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
Okay.
That
definitely
Bonnie and Clyde
is absolutely. And I talked about that last night on the postgame show. That's what I'm going to remember the most about 2017, is how a team can absolutely take Penn State down to the wire, lose on the last possession of the game, blow out another top 10 team in Ohio State. They had Penn State on the ropes. They hung 50 plus on Ohio State, and then they only get 66 yards against Wisconsin, and then turn around and lose the following week to an okay Purdue team, which, by the way, Jeff Brohm, you can't talk enough about the job that he did last night in getting Purdue the victory at the Foster Farms Bowl. I know it was a little controversial with the kneel down play, and you think Kirk Ferentz and the other coaches in the Big Ten weren't paying attention to that. Believe me, they will be. If you missed it, go back and check out some of the highlights. But that Purdue team was not supposed to even sniff bowl eligibility this year. Brohm not only gets them to a bowl game, but wins it, and another resume builder for him last night. So the Big Ten is off to a 2-0 start. Now a lot of the heavy lifting is yet to come. The bigger games certainly this weekend, and including the Orange Bowl with Wisconsin against Miami, which should be a very interesting game. It should be a lot of Miami fans at that game, I would think, kind of similar to what Iowa State will face with Memphis, being played there at the Liberty Bowl, their home stadium. But again, we'll talk with Alex Halstead about that game coming up in just a little bit. Hawkeye fans, I want to hear from you tonight, especially if you went. I don't know how many of you went and have made it back to Eastern Iowa, assuming many flights have landed at the Eastern Iowa airport today, or if you flew in elsewhere, as I did, you've made it back to Eastern Iowa, and hopefully you've thawed out. But I want to hear about your experience with the Pinstripe Bowl. 319-366-1600. Surely you don't want to hear my stories from New York. I'm boring. I never do anything fun. We walked around, I say we, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, who's going to be with me on the program tomorrow, walked around Lower Manhattan for about an hour and a half yesterday, did a little bit of sightseeing, and the one sight that we didn't see, Tiger Hawks. And Rob and I both commented that it was the most unusual bowl game that we've ever been to. Now, granted, New York is a very large city. We were in only one borough, and we were in a very concentrated area of that one borough, but we walked by the Hilton, which was the team hotel, and they had emblazoned with Iowa Hawkeye stuff and Tiger Hawks all over the place, but we didn't see fans walking around. This is something that I never thought I would see hanging out in downtown Manhattan. I saw Rutgers gear before I saw Iowa stuff. Now, granted, Rutgers is across the river in Piscataway, New Jersey, and there's probably a lot of Rutgers alums there, but I saw somebody wearing a Rutgers stocking cap before I saw my first Tiger Hawk in New York. The Iowa fans represented last night fairly well. I walked around the stadium before the game. I thought there were more Iowa fans there than I was expecting, but at the end, Iowa didn't sell more than that 1,000 or so tickets that they talked about from their allotment. The Iowa fans that were there bought their tickets on the secondary market for the most part. A lot of them, a former coworker of mine, a college classmate who lives in Boston, brought his wife and kids down for the game. A lot of alums that were in the New York area were there at the game. And they were, I'll say this, people didn't exactly look thrilled to be there, but the beer taps were flowing and people were warming up as the game went on and more beer was consumed. And I think people were having a better time, but we're going to talk a little bit about this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, because the New York Yankees organization was not happy with the way that their bowl game was portrayed by some members of the Iowa media. And I'm very surprised that an organization that is as big and as powerful as the Yankees would be so terribly thin-skinned. But apparently, they are. And so we're going to see if we can inflict a couple paper cuts on them in the 5 o'clock hour, because it's stick to what you know. You're a baseball team. Worry about the baseball. Don't try to do football. That's like a pizza place trying to sell hamburgers. That's just, it wasn't a great experience. Now, I felt bad for the media relations people there. The media relations people tried really hard. But on the whole, I think that's a bowl game that Iowa is glad to put a check mark next to. They've fulfilled their obligation as being one of the Big Ten teams that has to go and participate in it. And I think if Iowa never goes back to another pinstripe bowl, no tears will be shed. Now, that being said, you know, Kirk Ferentz was very respectful, talked a lot about the process of going to that game and everything that went into it. And for those of you who don't know, last night, win number 142 for Kirk Ferentz as Iowa's head coach, tying him with Hayden Fry for the all-time mark. His next win, 143, will give him sole possession. Iowa is scheduled to open the 2018 season with Northern Illinois, which was the first ever school that Kirk beat. The only win of the 1999 season, his first year as head coach. LeVar Woods had the return for the touchdown. And this will tell you, college students do a lot of stupid things. We rushed the field after Iowa beat Northern Illinois. Thought maybe they'd win one or two more games that year. We didn't know in hindsight that that was going to be the highlight of the season. But it's interesting now. Northern Illinois is a pretty good football team. They went to a bowl game this year. I believe they got beat by Duke. So it's not necessarily an automatic gimme win next year, but sort of an interesting footnote. Ferentz's record-breaking win next year could come against the school that he picked up his first win against. And a lot of records, Kyle, last night were either tied or broken. Josh Jackson with his 8th interception. He's now alongside Lou King, Desmond King, and Niall Kinnick in the school's history books. 8 interceptions. The Hawkeyes finished with 20, if I do the math on this right, 21 interceptions, I think, to lead the NCAA. So a great defensive effort all around. You had Nate Stanley, who was challenging for a couple records last night. Akram Wadley finishing up in the record book. Matt Vandenberg played in his 54th career game, which is more than any Iowa football player has ever suited up for. Sort of an interesting note there. He finishes 10th in career receptions with 134. A little bit of perseverance on his part. And Noah Fant had the 8-yard touchdown to get things started last night, his 11th of the year. That is a single-season record for Iowa tight ends, and I throw that in there because on the flight from Chicago to LaGuardia, Mr. and Mrs. Fant were behind me in line. Turned around, the only two people on my plane that were wearing Iowa gear, and I said, you guys must be going to the game. And very modest, well, our son plays for the Hawkeyes. I said, well, who's your son? His name's Noah Fant. I said, I think I'm fairly familiar with him. He's kind of good. Kind of good. He's going to be a big part of the success the Hawkeyes have in 2018 moving forward. That's what we're asking you about today, 2018 and beyond. What's next for the Hawkeyes and the program now that they've been able to officially put the haven't won a bowl game since 2010 storyline in the rearview mirror? Nate Stanley's coming back. They've still got some question marks offensively at receiver. Who's going to replace Akram Wadley? What's the defense going to look like next year without all three starting linebackers, a unanimous All-American? And oh, by the way, another unanimous All-American in the defensive backfield who most likely will not be back as well. Am I taking the wind out of the sails of last night's victory? If I am, I apologize. 319-366-1600. You got a big board ready, or is Jeff doing the big board today?
Oh,
You got the big board in front of you.
I got it ready to go.
Okay, 421. We'll step aside, take a quick break, catch up with Tom Kakert coming up at the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, maybe, just maybe, I'll share an anecdote or two from the trip. You guys don't want to hear about my trip to New York.
I do.
It's very boring. 421, the Todd Bromelkamp Show, continuing on 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, back after this.
Bring in this new year with a bang. With fireworks from Boom Boom Billy's huge fireworks sale going on from 9 to 9 at Hawkeye Downs. Follow the signs to find big savings. Check out our pre-assembled packages and save up to 50% off. You won't believe how big of a boom you can make with Boom Boom Billy's monster fireworks. So if you want a quiet little holiday, then don't bother. But if you want to rock your world this New Year's, get to Boom Boom Billy's huge fireworks sale going on from 9 to 9 at Hawkeye Downs in Cedar Rapids.
When my wife's parents flew in for the weekend, I picked them up in my Honda Pilot. They raved over my decision to buy from Kelley Blue Book's 2017 Best Value brand and marveled at all the cargo space. Then they called my wife on Bluetooth to say what a smart man I was. Just kidding. Well, they did use the Bluetooth to ask my wife why she didn't pick them up.
Hurry in to your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
Based on 2017 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
You know, New York City gets a bad rap, and I may have even given New York City a bad rap before I went out there. It's been a long time since I've been there. The first half day that I was there, I was miserable. The hotel room was loud. I didn't get much sleep. Manhattan, if you've ever spent any time there, it's extremely noisy and very loud, very congested, people on top of people. And anybody that knows me knows one thing that I don't really do well with are large crowds and large groups of people. It makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Not that I'm claustrophobic or a misanthrope or anything like that. I'm not necessarily a huge, hey, Colonels game, how many people are going to be there tonight? 2,500, I can handle that. Hey, how many people are going to be there? Well, it's a fireworks night and it's sold out, 5,000 people. You know what? I'll catch them on Sunday for a matinee instead. But you walk around the city and As much as I love Chicago, no city in America compares to New York City, and in particular Manhattan. It was a great experience and had some very good food while I was out there. We went to a couple local pizza places, went to a nice local Italian place that may or may not have had an actual mob hit take place at it in the 1920s, also used as a filming site for a scene in The Sopranos, and it was a great trip, outside of the fact that the weather was awful and the prices are exorbitant. I mean, that's a very expensive trip. Of course, if you're drinking $30 or $40 a glass bourbon, it's going to add up. But I don't know who I could possibly be talking about there. Tom Cakert from HawkeyeReport.com joining us coming up in just a few minutes. Somebody on the text line mentioned that Boston College was wearing tennis shoes last night during the game. That is Under Armour terms those turf shoes. They're very close to tennis shoes, but Boston College felt that since the surface was rock hard, that would maybe perhaps give them a little bit of an advantage. I don't think it helped them at all. I also don't think it hindered them as much as some people may have thought online. It was certainly an interesting look, but if you were there and you were on that field, I mean, it was like you'll hear Josie Jewell later on today talk about the field and refer to it as like wearing cleats on concrete. We got yelled at in high school when we played baseball for wearing our cleats on down the hallway and onto the concrete on our way out to the field. We were supposed to bring them with and then change into them once we got onto the grass. That's Josie Jewell saying, hey, this wasn't a great setup last night. But both teams played on it, and Iowa managed to come out on top 27-20. We'll talk a little bit more about it with Tom Cakert. You are set up with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa beat Boston College last night 27-20 in the Pinstripe Bowl to snap its 5-bowl losing streak. Akram Wadley was the MVP of the game, playing near its hometown. He had nearly 300 all-purpose yards, including an average of 34 yards on 5 kickoff returns, as well as a touchdown on the ground. Iowa was outgained in the first half, 281 yards to 56, but flipped that in the second half, holding a 144-102 advantage in the second while forcing 3 turnovers. Iowa finishes the season 8-5, and Kirk Ferentz tied Hayden Fry's record for all-time wins at Iowa. The Hawkeye community will now turn its attention to basketball, where another blow was dealt to freshman guard Connor McCaffrey. Just a few weeks after recovering from mononucleosis, on Wednesday morning he underwent a tonsillectomy and is out once again for an indeterminate period of time. Catching up on a few things on the women's side, Megan Gustafson was named the Big Ten Player of the Week for the fourth time in the season's 7 weeks. She still leads the nation with 12 double-doubles. Some bad news, too, however, as starting guard Mackenzie Meyer is going to be out indefinitely with a broken hand she suffered yesterday. That comes just as the Hawkeyes are set to open Big Ten play tonight at Wisconsin. We've got another couple teams opening their conference schedules tonight. We'll be wrapping up our show at 6:30, and on 1600 AM, we'll have the Iowa State women hosting Kansas, and we'll also have the UNI men hosting Southern Illinois on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
A busy couple days for Rob Brooks, who is the sideline reporter for the Iowa football team, also doubles as the play-by-play voice of the Iowa women. We were having our pregame meal together in the Yankee Stadium press box yesterday. He was supposed to catch a direct flight this morning from, I can't remember whether he was flying out of Newark or one of the New York airports, but a direct flight into Madison so that he could call the game tonight on the Hawkeye Radio Network. So best of luck going out to Lisa Bluter and her crew as they begin Big Ten play, and certainly a tough loss with Mackenzie Meyer now added to the list along with Tanaya Davis being out. But you got Megan Gustafson. I think you'd pretty much go up against any team in the Big Ten, maybe 5-on-1, and I still may make Iowa the favorite if that one player was Megan Gustafson. She continues to rake in the preseason accolades. The Iowa men getting ready to round out non-conference play and start Big Ten play up again. I'll talk a little hoops with Tom Cakert when he joins us at the bottom of the hour, as well as the Pinstripe Bowl. Yeah, that news on Connor McCaffrey is interesting because it's go time for them to make a decision as to whether or not he's going to play moving forward. And I talked to somebody close to the team in New York, and they basically gave a very blunt assessment that this team is going to have to play out of its mind in order to get back to the bubble. So at this point, it may be in everybody's best interest, and I know this isn't going to be a popular decision, it may be in Iowa's best interest for Connor McCaffrey to redshirt and not play this year, which is going to make an already disappointing season all that much more hard to stomach and hard to swallow for Hawkeye fans. So we'll see. We'll talk. Maybe Tom will have some thoughts on that. And again, if you're just joining us, coming up tomorrow on the program, the MVP of last night's Pinstripe Bowl, Akram Wadley, set to join us during the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow, the big hour brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. The New York Yankees tried to run a football bowl game. It's something they've done for 8 years now, and we'll have some thoughts on that, as well as I don't want to call it a war of words with the Cedar Rapids Gazette, but who would have ever thought that the Cedar Rapids Gazette would catch the attention of one of the most powerful men in Major League Baseball, in Randy Levine, the president of the New York Yankees, but they did. And he wasn't too happy about some things that were written about his bowl game before Iowa even left Iowa City for the Big Apple. And you know what? They weren't inaccurate. I mean, everything that was written about the Pinstripe Bowl was spot on. You can't necessarily polish something that is the Pinstripe Bowl. It is what it is. But he had some pointed comments about the Iowa fan base, actually, comparing the Iowa fan base with Notre Dame and some of the other programs that have participated in the Pinstripe Bowl, basically saying, look, if it was good enough for them, why is it not good enough for the Iowa fans? But they were between a rock and a hard place with this bowl game. We talked about this, the guys out in Manhattan. We spent a lot of time together. This is something people probably don't realize, but it's not like the old days, 25, 30, 40 years ago, where beat guys keep to themselves and you're the adversary, you're the competition. You're still the competition, but everybody's friendly, everybody's cordial, everybody gets along. So we spend a lot of time. We go out to dinner together, or we go out for drinks together, or we go out for more drinks together, or maybe we decide to go out for dinner and drinks. Maybe you're getting the picture of what some of these bowl trips are like. We spend a lot of time talking, and that was one of the things that came up in conversation, among other things, with regard to Iowa football and Iowa basketball. So we'll touch on that coming up in just a little bit. Lots to get to today. I have not mentioned this yet. Again, I feel like I'm just completely discombobulated here, like I have never done a radio show before, which is, well, if you've listened for a really long time, you might say that actually is the God's honest truth. But we are off at 6:30 tonight because we've got so much basketball going on. So it's going to be an abbreviated edition of the program tonight. Alex Halstead with us. Talk a little Cyclone Hoops and Liberty Bowl coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com is going to be with us here shortly. Are we doing a sports beat?
It's going to be a sports beat.
All right. Let's step aside. We'll get Tom on the line. And in lieu of Sports Center here, it's a holiday week. Nobody knows what's going on. I got in my car and I was looking forward to listening to WSCR on the drive home, and they had the fill-in host working today because in the major markets, those guys aren't doing their regular shows this week. You get me, though. I booked a 6 a.m. flight back so that I could be back and in time to be on the air today because I really wanted to be here. I value this show. I love this show. I love my job. I love you guys. I love the listeners. And I could loaf. I could take another day off and see some sights and Empire State Building and all of that stuff and come home tomorrow. And what's the difference? 6 a.m. Eastern time. So 5 a.m. Central time flight out. Had some mechanical issues, but we made it back. And then, well, I had to drive through the snow to get here as well. It was white knuckle. Not quite planes, trains, and automobiles, but fairly close. And Tom Kakert was with me for part of that trip, especially the train portion last night. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up after this Sports Beat.
This Sports Beat update on the gym is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, Here's Dari Noka.
Since the NFL's trade deadline has passed, the Patriots have added 8 players to the active roster, and none has created anything close to the stir that James Harrison's addition has caused. The longtime Steeler linebacker, a 5-time Pro Bowler, got his release from the Steelers, clearly unhappy with his lack of playing time. He cleared waivers and then signed with New England, setting off a storm of red-hot anger from Steelers and Steeler fans. How can he sign with that team, they scream. One source told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler Harrison did things like skipping or sleeping through meetings, snoring through them to help anger the organization enough that they let him go. And then bang, he's a Patriot. Forget the antics to get released. Know what this reminds me of? Kevin Durant chasing a ring by leaving the Thunder to go to Golden State, and it worked for him. And it might work for Harrison, and if it does, do you blame him? Did he not, in his 14 years as a Steeler, give them enough to earn the right to chase a ring? If it works and he gets that ring, get this, it's likely going to have nothing to do with his contributions. And how much could that ring even matter? In 60 seconds, don't play the blame game now.
I spent a good chunk of my life playing football.
I spent a good chunk of my life watching it.
So we've both seen our fair share of amazing performances. Hail Mary catches to seal a victory. Last second field goals that sneak through the uprights. But are they truly blimp worthy?
Goodyear knows that it takes dedication and determination to become blimp worthy because it's not the win, but the work. Not the talent, but the team. Not the highlights, but the hustle.
That's what makes you blimp worthy. And that's what makes Goodyear the official sponsor of the college football playoff.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Max Life filter for $29.99 or upgrade to a K&N filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Missouri lost to Texas in last night's Texas Bowl. One of the nation's top offenses, Missouri turned the ball over 4 times and generally sputtered throughout the game. But why? According to Tiger defensive end Marcel Frazier, it was because their offensive coordinator and offensive line coach left a few weeks ago to take jobs at UCF. And they weren't there to help them prepare. Sure, I get it. You're frustrated that you lost a game you shouldn't have lost. But to throw Josh Heupel, UCF's new head coach, and Glenn Ellerbe, who followed Heupel to Orlando, under the bus, it's not necessary. If you're a college football player in this day and age, and you think you can go through college football and not go through staff changes, the word naive doesn't even begin to describe you. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. 3 environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Had I been thinking, we would have queued up some clips from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as we moved on here today before we bring our next guest on. 4:38, the Todd Brolkamp Show with you until 6:30 tonight, a little early dismissal. Reminder, coming up tomorrow, we'll chat with the MVP of the Pinstripe Bowl, Iowa running back Akram Wadley. I guess you have to call him former Iowa running back Akram Wadley at this point. That always takes some getting used to. At this time, I didn't get a chance to check on Twitter to see who the first Iowa player to join Twitter was among the graduated seniors, but we We had a running wager in the press box last night that Akram Wadley was going to be the guy. We're going to talk about Iowa State's bowl game with Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, my thoughts on the Yankees going into a verbal war with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I know who I'm siding with, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. But let's bring him on, Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. We covered the trains portion of the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles last night. You parted ways with me one stop earlier than Grand Central Terminal, but I'm assuming, like myself, you made it back to Eastern Iowa in one piece.
I did. We actually got in about 20 minutes early to Moline this morning, but it was early morning, so I got the automobile in and a train and a plane in the last 24 hours.
Well, you know how things sort of even out in the universe? You got in 20 minutes early, and I got in an hour and 15 minutes late because we had a mechanical issue in Newark. But we got off the ground and got home and happy to be here. And how would you sum up the Pinstripe Bowl experience from start to finish, at least from our perspective? Because I'm talking in hour number two about the Yankees and their war of words with the Cedar Rapids Gazette about this being a bowl game that maybe Iowa fans didn't give a fair shake to.
You know, it's fine, but it is a minor bowl. It just is. I mean, it's kind of
don't tell
cool.
them that.
I think you would agree that it was cool to be at Yankee Stadium, but it was also cold because that's just the climate that New York is in late December. It's cold, so it's not going to be as attractive to fans. But it was cool to be at Yankee Stadium, and you know, both of us are huge baseball fans, so it's kind of a cool experience. I don't think I'd want to do it again, but overall, it was okay. It's just different because you're in New York, and the Pinstripe Bowl is a blip on the radar, maybe in the city of New York, whereas in Tampa, it's the Outback Bowl is a huge deal, and every other place, that whatever bowl game is generally a pretty big deal. Even the Rose Bowl in Los Angeles, it's a big deal when that's going on. But New York, it's not even a story, really.
Well, the big story a lot of people were waiting on after the game last night didn't get resolved because Josh Jackson and James Daniels both didn't say anything about their futures. Josh Jackson, I think, knows what he's going to do. He didn't want to steal any of the spotlight from his teammates. Are we pretty sure that both of those guys have one foot out the door at this point?
I'm probably about 99.9% sure that Josh Jackson is gone, and I'm probably about, I would almost go to 90 to 95% sure that James Daniels is going to get into the NFL and see how well he can do there. I just think both guys are going to get, I know Josh has gotten a pretty good evaluation, and I've heard that James has got a really good evaluation from the NFL people, even though Kirk continues to say he doesn't know or hasn't heard. They know. Those guys know kind of where they sit with the NFL, and I think both guys are going to take a crack at it. And I think Josh is certainly, unless something strange happens, he's a first or second round pick, and I think James believes he's going to be in the first three rounds as maybe the second best center prospect in the NFL draft.
We talked a little bit about James. I say we, the guys that were out for drinks the other night, and you were there with us. For Hawkeye fans that may not look at James Daniels and say, look, this doesn't make any sense. What's the deal with him leaving a little bit early? Is it the injury history? What could lead him or sort of push him toward the league early?
I think that's part of it. You look at, he's had knee surgeries every year. And, he came in early. He was an early enrollee. He came in January. So he's been in college basically, a couple, 3.5 years. And so he can, he's pretty well progressed to his degree, but he's had the knee issues. And how much longer does he have? Now the NFL is going to kick those tires pretty hard and find out how much tread he has left on him. But, he wants to play in the league. He's only 20 still. He didn't turn 21 until summer. So, he's a young player with a lot of potential. And if he's healthy, you know, I think he could be, you know, a 5-year starter in the league at least, just because he's so athletic and does so many good things. I ran into, when I was leaving out of St. Louis to go to New York City, I ran into an NFL draft guy at the airport, actually, and he told me, he just raved about him. He thinks it's going to be really good if he comes out. So just thinks he's tremendously athletic for that position, the kind of the athleticism you don't see normally from a center, and somebody's going to be really attracted to that.
Tom Kagert with us from HawkeyeReport.com. I want to ask you the question that I put to the listeners at the beginning of the show today. The hasn't won a bowl game since 2010 storyline is now on the back burner. What's next for this Iowa program? Where do the Hawkeyes go after winning this game last night?
Well, I think Brian Ferentz may have laid it out in his press conference in December. And he said, Wisconsin's the big bully on the block, and everybody's playing to be Wisconsin and trying to beat them in the West. And I think that's the thing that Iowa and Purdue and Wisconsin and Northwestern and Nebraska, all the teams in the West, that's what they're shooting for, is trying to beat Wisconsin, get to the Big Ten title game, potentially winning a Big Ten title, and then getting to a Rose Bowl. I think that's the thing that's left on the Kirk Ferentz resume, if you will, is getting back to another Rose Bowl and potentially winning a Rose Bowl. And I could easily see him at this point riding off into the sunset with something like that.
You said his name, so I've got to ask. One season in now, what's your evaluation of Brian Ferentz as an offensive coordinator?
Uneven, I think, is a fair assessment. Really good when it was good, and frankly, really bad when it was bad. When you look at the Wisconsin game, 66 yards, a historically bad performance. You look at the Michigan State game, even Northwestern, they just didn't move the ball very well. But then you look at Ohio State, you look at what they did against Nebraska, even this bowl game. I mean, they got outgained big time and were still able to win the football game because they created 3 turnovers. So I think there's a lot of growth potential there for them, but they've got to grow a lot to become much more consistent than they were this year.
Your thoughts on Nate Stanley? He is entrenched as Iowa's starting quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, he is. You know, that's one thing we'll probably see here in the next, I would think probably in the next week or two, is Tyler Wiegers announces that he's moving on. I've heard he's going to probably end up at Eastern Michigan, which it wouldn't be a shock. I mean, he's just kind of barricaded behind Stanley at this point and only going to play if there's an injury. So, I think Stanley has got a lot of growth potential, but we saw the good and bad with Nate Stanley. We saw the really good when he made a really terrific NFL-type throw to Nick Easley to set up some points there. But then we also saw the bad of Nate Stanley, where a couple of times where he held onto the ball too long, and allowed sacks to happen, and just wasn't as decisive as he needs to be. And that's where I always have to revert back to. He's still a sophomore, true sophomore, and he's got a lot of potential. The tools are all there, and hopefully next year. And he still had a great year. I mean, 26 touchdowns, the second most in school history, and just 6 interceptions. So he managed it well. But that's the exciting thing. If you're Brian Ferentz, is the kids could get oodles better, and he had a pretty good statistical year this year. I think if Iowa fans, if we would have told you Stanley's going to throw 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and get right to about 2,500 yards, you would have taken that before the season.
Like you just talked about, they're coming back with Stanley. They're going to feel pretty good about their quarterback situation. But there are a lot of question marks all over the field for them, especially on the defensive side, replacing an entire linebacking core. Who would you expect to see fill in those empty spaces next year?
Yeah, I would think probably the biggest shoes is the Josie Jewell shoes to fill, and I guess Christian Welsh probably at this point is the odds-on favorite there. And you've got Amani Jones or Aaron Menz at one of the kind of the strong side backer. And then probably it sounds like there'll be another Niemann in the lineup, Nick Niemann taking over for Ben on the outside. It looks more than likely that that's going to happen. So I think those are the three guys that are coming in. And it might look more like, Iowa fans will remember, like a Klinkenborg-Humpel type group that comes in, and maybe not a Josie Jewell level guys, but still very solid players. And I think that that might be a fair assessment. And they're going to have to replace Josh Jackson, and you're going to have to hope that Manny Rugumba, who had so much showed so much potential as a true freshman and really had a sophomore slump, comes back strong. If he can do that, and you've got Hankins out there, that they'll be pretty solid at corner, and you'll get Brandon Snyder back. You've got Gervas, you've got Hooker, who, let him in tackles. And they should be pretty solid up front, too, with the defensive line. They're just replacing Budgeta, and they've got some potential guys to rotate in there, too.
Is there a Josh Jackson on either side of the ball when you look at the projected two deeps for next year, a guy that could rise from sort of obscurity to be a star next year, offense or defense?
Boy, that's a great question. Talking to Akram this year, he has been so high on Ivory Kelly Martin, and maybe he's the guy that can come in and add some real excitement and, be that guy that when nobody's going to be talking about him as, potential impact player. And then we're looking back, a year from today, and we're talking about that kid being, a potential All Big Ten player. So I'll throw him into the mix, and maybe I'd throw Hankins in there, just because I think he's flashed a little bit, and I know they really like what he's shown, and I think he could potentially be a guy that could really develop this next year.
Tom Kagert with us from HawkeyeReport.com for just another minute or two. Let's go ahead and switch to basketball here, because another topic that we talked about ad nauseum in New York was Connor McCaffrey's status with the Hawkeyes and whether or not it's looking more and more likely that he's going to be redshirting this year. The Hawkeyes announced yesterday that he had his tonsils taken out, part of a lingering after effects of having mono. Your thoughts on what would be best for Connor McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes at this point?
We had a little teleconference with Fran this afternoon, and it just seems like unless he makes a miracle recovery and is healthy, which doesn't seem really likely in the next month or so, that they're just going to shut him down. And I think it would also have to be a situation where they're playing for something. If this team is contending for an NCAA bid, maybe they would try and get him back if he's healthy. But otherwise, there's just not much point in pushing him out there just to have him out there and playing. So, I think he's going to end up just redshirting this year, take a medical redshirt or just a regular redshirt, which he qualifies for, and just go on. And but if he takes the medical, I don't think he can play baseball then either. You can't medical redshirt in one sport and then go play another. That would not seem to be likely.
How do you, if he redshirts this year and you just say, look, this year is a wash, how do you put butts in the seats at Carver Hawkeye Arena? How do you keep people engaged during the Big Ten season?
That's going to be sports marketing is going to have their hands full if this thing, kind of goes, to borrow a Franism, sideways a little bit, which it could. Big Ten's very competitive, but also Big Ten has been kind of a disappointment. And Iowa is playing better, but if they're, end up at, like 8-10 in the Big Ten, boy, it's going to be a tough sell the rest of the way to get butts in the seats for some of these games, even though they do have some attractive games coming up. But it's going to be a tough sell for everybody. And it'll be the first time that I think there's a little discontent with Fran, which I'm going to be interested to see how he handles handles that, because I think he's kind of, he's either achieved at the level that we thought he would or above it. for his entire tenure at Iowa. And this would be the first year where they kind of really took a step back. And I'm real curious how Fran handles kind of maybe some of the criticism that'll be coming his way.
He might not be the McCaffrey family member I'm most interested in seeing how deals with the criticism. But he'd be up there as well. Tom, we appreciate it, and we'll touch base with you during the basketball season. Thanks for the time.
Okay. Thanks, Todd.
Tom Caker at HawkeyeReport.com, and I forgot to ask Tom whether or not he's given his son his new jersey. Tom went shopping at the NBA store the other day and picked up, his son is a big UCLA fan, and so he got him a Lonzo Ball Lakers jersey and some NBA socks, because basketball season is right around the corner for young Jack Cakert. 4:55, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, we'll have another big board update for you, and to kick off hour number two, a war of words between the giant, powerful New York Yankees and your little old hometown newspaper, the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Back with more after this.
There are so many choices for a home loan. Options are crucial when it comes to a first-time home purchase, mortgage refinancing, or bill consolidation loan. Hi, I'm Dan Hillers with First Federal Credit Union. Being able to select the absolute best loan for your situation can literally save you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced homeowner, I promise to work to find the solution that is right for you. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
4:56, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the air until 6:30 tonight. All three frequencies, 1600, 106.3, 107.5 on the FM side of things. Online as well, kgymradio.com. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board Update, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa beat Boston College last night, 27-20 in the Pinstripe Bowl to snap its five-bowl losing streak. Akram Wadley was the MVP of the game, playing near his hometown. He had nearly 300 all-purpose yards, including an average of 34 yards on five kickoff returns, as well as a touchdown coming on the ground. Iowa was outgained in the first half, 281 yards to 56, but flipped that in the second half, holding a 144-102 advantage in the second while forcing three turnovers. Iowa finishes the season 8-5, and Kirk Ferentz tied Hayden Fry's record for all-time wins at Iowa. The Hawkeye community will now turn its attention to basketball, where another blow was dealt to freshman guard Connor McCaffrey. Just a few weeks after recovering from mononucleosis, on Wednesday morning he underwent a tonsillectomy and is out once again for an indeterminate period of time. Catching up on a few things on the women's side, Megan Gustafson was named the Big Ten Player of the Week for the fourth time in the season's 7 weeks. She still leads the nation with 12 double-doubles. Some bad news, too, however, is starting guard Mackenzie Meyer is going to be out indefinitely with a broken hand that she suffered yesterday. And that comes just as the Hawkeyes open Big Ten play tonight at Wisconsin. We've got another couple teams opening their conference schedules tonight. We're going to be wrapping up our show at 6:30, and on 1600 AM, we'll have the Iowa State women hosting Kansas, and we'll also have the UNI men hosting Southern Illinois on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
So here's the deal. On the 12th of December, our good friend Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette wrote a column about the Pinstripe Bowl, and somehow, some way, through the miracle of the internet, it was brought to the attention of Randy Levine, who is the president of the New York Yankees. The Yankees own the Pinstripe Bowl. They put the Pinstripe Bowl on, and they, in a roundabout way, are trying to say that, due in large part to the negative press that the bowl game received from outlets like the Gazette, thank God they don't listen to this program, I'd be falling into that category as well. That's why Iowa fans didn't travel to New York. We'll talk a little bit about the actual facts of this case when we come back to kick off hour number two. Stick with us, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical grade.